Turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation, chapter 1. I'm honored to be in this pulpit and at this church. And if you can only come to one service, tonight would be the one to come to. I bring greetings from my wife, Lori. We've been married 51 years next week. And we have six kids and 22 grandchildren, two great-grandchildren. The bad news is I never wanted to be married to a great-grandmother, but we're here now. But I'm delighted to be here, and I love the missionary presentations, Brother Perry's Bible course this morning in Sunday school. I'm reminded of the farmer from Arkansas that went to the Baptist church for the first time, and he's heard the pastor mention the word tithe, and he said to the pastor afterwards, tithe, I never heard that word. What is that? And the pastor said, well, Henry, it's an Old Testament concept that the first fruits belong to God, a tenth of everything you have, and it's all through the Bible. And he said, for example, if you had 1,000 hogs, why, then 100 of them, they would belong to God. He says, okay, I get that. He said, or if you had 100 hogs, why, 10 of them would belong to God. He says, yeah, I see that. He said, or if you had 10 hogs. He says, you hold it right there, preacher. You know I got 10 hogs. And all the preaching in the world is okay as long as you don't expect me to do something. And I make no apologies for it. We are trying to do more for the cause of Christ through missions. That's what this week is about. And the good news is we have all the money we need for missions. The bad news is it's still in your pocket. And so people say to me, don't you get sick of talking about money? I don't really. To me, it's a heart matter. When people honestly love the Lord and want to do right, the natural outworking. My dad in our dairy farm in Wisconsin said, Randy, do you even know what business we're in? And I said, well, yeah, we're farmers. And he said, yeah, but what business are we really in? And I said, well, okay, we're dairy farmers. We have dairy cows. He said, you know, we have to have milk to sell to the dairy for us to get a check and pay our bills. But he said, you also know the cows don't have milk if they don't have babies. And we have 60 cows and one very happy bull. But whether you know it or not, our main job is to keep that bull healthy. If we keep the bull healthy, he'll do what comes natural to that bull, and he'll reproduce. And I've never forgotten that our main job is to keep the church healthy. Healthy Christians, healthy churches will do what comes natural. They'll win souls locally, and they'll support missions worldwide. The main job is to keep the bull healthy. And so that's what I'm here for, is to keep the bull healthy. I make no apologies for it. Please be here. I'm a long ways from home. And I'm here on purpose, and I'll be here, and I want you to be here. Come hear the testimonies. I'm basically here for eye candy. Okay, I'm kidding. I like to use volunteers. I call them victims. And so, Ricky, if you would come on up, bring your Bible up, and you're going to be right up here. You live right here. And this is a young guy, and he is just bebopping along 98.6, just the average lost guy. And then I forgot your name, but it's changing now. And you are the Apostle John. Doesn't he look Jewish to you? I mean, so the Apostle John's going around doing apostle business, and he comes across this young guy, and he takes the Bible and shows him how to be saved. And he prays and asks the Lord to save him. And it's wonderful. He's born again. He's a child of God. He's happy as a clam. And boy, the Apostle John spends time discipling him, showing him everything from generations to revolutions, and teaching him the whole Bible. And boy, he's happy, happy, happy. And now he goes back over here and does more apostle business over here. And this is a wonderful situation. And then, as he's growing in Christ, why wouldn't you know it? He hears that there's missionaries coming through his town. And he's like twinkle dusted with missionaries, real life missionaries. And so missionaries come and they're coming through. And boy, he is so excited. He has them at his house. He asks them, how did you know the call of God? How did you know what God had for you? He stays out in the doghouse. He gives them his bedroom. He cooks them ribeye steaks for supper, squash and potatoes. He just loves them. He's up till midnight asking them questions. What's it like to travel? How do you know what you're going to do? What kind of country are you going to? He has prayer with them. In the morning, he fixes them a big breakfast, packs them a lunch, gives them a $200 gas card to put gas in their camel. And boy, they go on. And boy, in their travels, they run into the Apostle John. And the Apostle John says, hey, what's it like out there in the deputation trail? And they said, oh, well, you know, most churches do what they can. We got in one church that was so poor, they couldn't even pay attention. Why, a pickpocket got in there and got nothing but practice. But most churches are very kind and generous. But I'll tell you what, we ran into this young guy named Gaius who was just thrilled with our ministry and our calling. And he prayed with us and he blessed us and encouraged us. And boy, if every place we went was like that, I'll tell you, this would be wonderful. Did you ever hear of him? And he goes, well, yes. Yes, I know him. I'm so glad that he's still doing well. What a blessing to hear that. And so then they go on to deepest, darkest someplace. And this guy, wow, he's just thrilled. I got to help missionaries. What a blessing, what a blessing. But he has a rotten pastor. Now, let me say this just in preliminary. In the Bible, God established the home, and God intended for the husband to be the head of his family. And he has God's authority, but he's supposed to represent God's character to that home. And we all know that most husbands are good, but every once in a while, there's a clinker out there, right? And then God started civil government in Genesis 9, and hey, we're supposed to submit to authority, and hey, we're supposed to follow. God wants order in his society, in his culture, and on his planet. And so the husband leads the family, the rulers lead the government, and they're supposed to reward those that do good and punish those that do evil, right? That's what they're for. But how many understand that once in a while you get a rotten politician? Actually, they're pretty popular now. But Nebuchadnezzar says, you can't pray, or you're going to the lion's den, or you're going to the fiery furnace. Peter, you can't preach in the name of Jesus. Peter says in Acts 5, I got to obey God rather than man, right? The principle is we follow authority, but once in a while you cannot. If a dad is prostituting his daughter, right? Because they're supposed to reflect the character of God, not just the authority of God. And pastors, they're supposed to take the oversight over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And most pastors are good pastors. Every once in a while, there's a clinker. And, hey, I'm sorry. When there's all good policemen, but there's one policeman who's selling drugs out of the backseat of his car, it kind of soils all policemen, right? A lot of honest judges, but when one's caught taking bribes, it kind of soils all judges. And there's lots of good pastors, but when there's a rotten pastor who runs off with the checkbook or the secretary, it actually soils all of us. Would you agree with that? And I'd like to tell you that there's no rotten pastors in the Bible, but there is one. And you say, what does a rotten pastor look like? Well, come on up, brother. I told him, even the worst of us can be used as a bad example. Now hear me carefully. When this guy, who is a micromanaging, insecure, control freak, finds out that one of his church members had missionaries in, hey, he single-handedly is the source of all human knowledge. He purpose personally is the pillar and ground of the truth. I'm the one that's in charge of everything. And he says to this guy, you can't have missionaries. I don't want you to let them come to your house. You can't talk to them. No, hear me. Of all the things in the Bible that could show a rotten pastor, it isn't he ran off in adultery. It isn't that he's lazy. It isn't that he stole money. It's that he won't help missions. So this guy's put in a tough situation. Why don't you switch sides, guys? He's put in a tough position. He wants to follow his pastor. The Bible says you're supposed to follow your pastor and all that. But boy, he thought it was right to help the missionaries. Who can he possibly ask what to do when he's in a conundrum like this? He writes a letter to the Apostle John. And he says, hey, here's the circumstance. I don't know what to do. And you don't have that letter, but what you have is the letter written back. So I had you turn to Revelation. That's just to get you close to 3 John. Just turn back one page. If you haven't found it by now, just stare at the page you found. But 3 John. This should make you pay attention. Of all the things written in the New Testament, there's the Gospels and Acts and Paul to the church at Rome and the church at Philippi and the churches of Galatia and to the church at Ephesus and the Apostle Paul to Timothy and Titus, the preacher boys, or John, the elect lady. Every epistle is written to a church or a pastor, except 3 John is written to a layman. Hey, Gaius isn't a pastor. Philemon had a church in his house. It's the only place in the Bible where an apostle writes a letter directly to a layman. The elder, look with me if you will, 3 John 1. The elder, unto the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Has he given them any advice yet? A salutation. Boy, what a blessing to hear that you're doing well. How wonderful. Verses 5 through 8 are kind of the mission verses. But in this context, he says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest. To the brethren and to strangers. Hey? He's a blessing to the church members he knows, but also to those that are passing through. Right? Hey, you do faithfully whatsoever you do to the brethren and to strangers. Verse 6 is kind of important. It says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou, and look at this phrase, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt what? Do well. Is it a good thing to help the missionaries or not? Yes, it is. If you help bring them forward, help them get from where they are to where God's called them to be, if you bring them forward on their journey, you do well. So far, so good. It gives a reason in verse 7 and 8, because that for his name's sake they went forth. What's it say there? Taking nothing of the Gentiles. Read between the lines. What that's saying is, don't expect your lost Presbyterian dentist to support our kind of missions. If you could read the underlying Greek, you would see it says that. Hey, don't expect the world to see it like us. They have the ounce of the milk of human kindness. They do have compassion enough to try to stop disease or help them plant corn or whatever. But our kind of missions is we're sending men to preach the gospel of Christ and see souls saved and churches planted and nationals trained. And you just don't expect the world. For his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Then look what it says. We therefore ought to receive such. Verse 6 said we ought to bring them forward. Verse 8 says, we therefore ought to receive such. Why? That we might be fellow helpers to the truth. We get to help them do what God's called them to do. We're fellow helpers. It's a team effort. Notice, we ought to receive such. Let me say this to you. Don't ever treat missionaries like some kind of second-class citizens. They're not beggars. They're not losers. They're not hobos from the railroad yard. Don't ever call them moochinaries. The ones I know were men of God in their own right, ladies of God in their own right. They tithe, they gave to missions, they maybe went on a trip or two. And they would never have asked you for a thin dime in their life. But God touches their heart and says, I want you to go. And then he says to the church, I want you to help them get there. I've had missionary after missionary. Oh, Pastor King, I don't mind going to the snakes and the spiders. Just don't send me to the Baptists. Don't treat them like that. They're men of God. They are leaving home and country, going to spread the gospel around the world. Get behind them. Do all you can. We get to be fellow helpers of the truth. Before O.J. Simpson murdered anybody, he was born Orenthal James Simpson. And he had rickets, a real bad disease where he had real bad bowed legs. And they put braces on him. They had therapy. They had sessions. He was given exercises to do. And he finally, by the time he got into junior high, could walk normally. They had him do more exercises. In high school, he became an athlete. He played football for USC, got drafted into the NFL, and became the first man to run for 2,000 yards in a single season in the NFL. And they were going to have the NFL honors, and they were going to give him a plaque and a check for $10,000 for reaching that landmark, the first running back to run for 2,000 yards. And he said, I won't come and I won't receive that award unless you bring the center, the two guards, and the two tackles who blocked for me all season. I could never have run those yards were it not for those men. And you're going to give them the same plaque and you're going to give them the same check, or I'm not coming. That's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven, you know. Thank God for the missionaries. Whoa, how wonderful, wonderful. But the man who goes to a factory every day and earns his pay and prays for him and gives a tithe, gives him missions, goes on a trip to encourage him, sends him a Christmas card, we're going to share in the reward someday. We're fellow helpers to the truth. But it begs a question. It begs the question, hey, what about chain of command? What about line of authority? What in the world? He's writing right to a layman. Why didn't he solve the problem at the highest level? Why didn't he deal with the pastor? Verse 9, it says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now hear me carefully. No pastor is above that Bible. You got to have some kind of brass to say, I'm not going to listen to the Apostle John. I wrote to the church, but the Diotrephes, this guy is so proud he can strut sitting down. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Now let me ask you, how do you know Diotrephes is the pastor? Well, let me see. Who answers your church mail? Right? Who is it that has authority to tell people what they can and can't do? Who is it that threatens to kick people out of the church? Now, John says, wherefore if I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth. We have a song we sing, God will take care of you in every way all of the day. That song has a complete different meaning when you're this guy. God will take care of you. You think God has a hammer big enough for this guy? I'm serious. John does not say to Gaius, lead a rebellion, meet secretly in a back room with the deacons, stir up strife in the church. He says, when I come, I'll deal with it. Now listen, this will go a long ways in a lot of circumstances. Hey, God's going to deal with his men. They watch for your souls as they that must give account, the Bible says, Hebrews 13:17. They'll give account. But really, we still haven't gotten any advice about what to do. What to do. Except now we get down here to verse 11. Beloved, watch carefully. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Don't give God a black eye over this. It's too bad. I'm sorry it happens. We don't deny they exist. We don't justify what they do. There are evil people. And the Bible says in this verse, he that doeth evil hath not seen God. I don't care. You got some guy who's beating his wife or molesting his children. Don't give God a black eye over that. That did not come from God. You got a president that takes bribes from foreign countries. Don't blame God for that. That did not come from God Almighty. You have a rotten pastor? Nearly everywhere I go, a third of the congregation will say, hey, my daughter was in a church, or we used to go to a church, or we saw. And I'm so grieved. I'm sorry that you had that experience. But you can't follow that. You cannot follow that. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. If you could read the underlying language, what I do, it says, in the Greek, it says, hey, I'm so sorry that your pastor is the west end of a horse going east. You can't follow that. You can't follow that. Never give over your ability to think for yourself. If you start following people blindly, you're going to be drinking grape Kool-Aid for breakfast. Hey, think for yourself. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. What's the next word there in verse 11? Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but, let me ask you this. Does he still need a pastor? Sheep not having a shepherd are scattered, right? Just because you encounter a bad experience doesn't mean all the pastors are rotten or there's no good churches. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. They're still good pastors. Now listen to me. God's either called you to be a pastor or he's called you to help a pastor. That's all there is. That's all there is. You're either going to be the pastor or you're going to help the pastor. And so, hey, Gaius, John to Gaius, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but by extension, follow that which is good. That which is good. He that doeth good is of God. That's a very, very important verse. Would it shock you? Would it just be amazing that the Apostle John, to a young man that he discipled, says to him in the very next verse, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. Hey. This is like reading 1 Timothy 3 or Titus chapter 1, the qualifications for a good pastor. Does it matter that the pastor has a good testimony among all men? That he pays his bills, he's not horsing around with the neighbor's wife, that he's got a good reputation in the community as well among the brethren? Yeah. Demetrius has good report of all men, but listen, it's not enough. It's not enough just to be a nice guy or a moral guy or a well-reputed guy. It says in the second clause, and of the truth itself. Does it matter that he has doctrinal fidelity? Does it matter that he rightly divides the word of truth? Does it matter that he knows the difference between Israel and the church, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Does it matter that he doesn't misapply the scriptures, rightly dividing the word of truth? Hey. John to Gaius, Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. And then he adds his personal, and we also bear record, and you know that our record's true. There are good pastors. There are guys you can follow. And Demetrius is in your neighborhood. Hey, you can't follow that which is evil. The sheep never get together and butt the shepherd out of the pasture. They just find a different shepherd to follow. Let God take care of this. Now, I'm not talking about if he does something illegal. I mean, sometimes you got to do. But by and large, there should not be a lynch mob mentality in any church. It's the truth. I do this every week. Hey, we've read every syllable of this book, John to Gaius, and we're down here to the last two verses. What does it say? Kiss everybody. It says, verse 13, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. I wonder why God has preserved in your lap in his Bible, 3 John. Hey. The only advice is in verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but follow that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. And we also bear record. You know that our record is true. Hear me. You guys can go down. I always feel intimidated when there's handsome guys up here, but I felt safe with this group. And it's the start of Missions Conference week. I'm here and then I'm gone. Our church is real, real involved in missions. But hear me. I'm going to ask you to just cross two lines. Here's the first one. Do you believe what the pastor is trying to get you to do? More for the cause of Christ through missions. Do you believe that is of God or not? Right? He that doeth good is of God. Now, there are guys like this who have their little petty agenda and they make it all about themselves and they want everybody to bow down. I'm not worthy. They make it all about them. And then there are the good pastors that make it about God's bigger agenda. We're here to glorify God. We're here to reach souls for Christ. We're here to love and minister to the people that we're here with. When you get a pastor like that, I'm saying, does your pastor look like Diotrephes or does he look like Demetrius? Hey. The first line I'm asking you to cross is what he's trying to get you to do. Let's do more to reach the lost world with the gospel. Is that of God? And then the second question, it says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. The second question is, will you follow his lead for this cause? And so I'm going to ask, just as I'm done, you know what Liz Taylor said to her fifth husband, I won't keep you long. All the young people are saying, who's Liz Taylor? It's the Moses and Pharaoh watch. Let my people go. I'm going to ask the pastor to come up front, and I'd like you to stand with me as we conclude here. I sure hope, if you're here and never been saved, that you get that settled before it's too late. But let me ask you this, as we start Missions Conference here. If you've decided, I believe what God's trying, what the pastor's challenging us to do, more for missions, if that's of God. And then if you say, hey, I can follow that. What he's trying to get me to do is of God, and I'm in on that. He can count on me. I'm going to have a part in that. I'd like you to just today, after I pray and when the music plays, Maybe you told him last week, Pastor, I'm excited about Missions Conference and you can count on me. But maybe you're a new person or someone that's never been to Missions Conference or someone that's never been involved in giving to missions. And I'd like the pastor to just stand down front and for you to just slip out of the pew and come down and take his hand and say, Pastor, count on me. We're in this together. We're going to do this together. It's not just you giving away money. It's me having a part in what I believe is God's program. I'm not a man worshiper. I don't like making a big deal out of individuals. But I do believe when Paul said, follow that which is good. Follow that which is good. It'd do well for you to say, Pastor, count on me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the Bible. Help us, Lord, to just tremble at your word. This is an amazing book written by an apostle to Gaius the layman. Lord, may a man named Fred and Henry and Bob and Tom and a gal named Susan and Tanya and Barb, may they take this as to them personally. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would enable this good church, this pastor, with his leadership. May they do more for the cause of Christ through missions than ever before. Lord, would you put a unity in the body of Christ? Bless our invitation time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.